Shall we read together now in the prophecy of Daniel, please? We have to bring this meeting a little bit to the close earlier than 1:45 for the sake of other arrangements. So the time will go very fast, but we have tomorrow night to continue. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdoms 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdoms and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes and notice, brethren, this is one of the greatest things to have seen reproduced in the life of any child of God, besides being faithful, as what we're reading here. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have said? Brethren, if we have this type of a spirit, we'll get on one with another. Remember how the disciples, and I'm going to touch on a few things as I go along. I'm not going to read it through and then speak. I'll just touch on things that seems to be my way of doing things. Just touch on a few things that should be lifted out and emphasized. Remember there was a time in the lives of the disciples, they're on the way and the Lord's on the way to give his life a ransom for many at the place called Calvary. There was a man that was casting out demons and the disciple says, he followeth not after us. Condemn him. Stop him. Remember what the Lord says, you don't know what for a spirit you are. Brethren, we must be careful that we maintain an excellent spirit. And I believe this all goes back to Daniel in chapter 1. And I believe this is the secret. If we have no purpose in life, no goals in life, no priorities in life, then we'll be affected by circumstances. And we'll be occupied with people we like and dislike and show it, even if we try to hide it. And there shouldn't be that. I know some are easier to get along than others. I have 5 kids. I have times when it's easier for myself as a father to express myself affectionately, emotionally to one more than maybe the other, but that doesn't mean I don't love all 5 children. It's because of their attitude to father and mother. And so it is with the child of God. When it says the disciple whom Jesus loved, that doesn't mean, my boy says, how could the Lord have favoritism? I says he didn't have favoritism. But it says one thing was sure, John leaned upon the breast of the Lord Jesus. He had an intimacy with the Lord Jesus that the others really didn't have. And it wasn't because he was partial to John, but he was able to make himself known because the secrets of the Lord, we read in the Psalmist, the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. He loves you, dear child of God, just as much as he loves me or anybody. But our response to him is altogether different. Therefore, he cannot make himself known unto us as he would like. We don't cultivate that excellent spirit. If we did, we'd have less difficulties with one another. And all because, we read in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart not to eat of the king's meat. That is, brethren, we're eating something. Think of Abraham in that case. Why could Abraham refuse the offers of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain? Because it says he lifted his heart and his hands to the Most High God. And because he had got all in the all-seeing eye of God, he was able to refuse that which the earth has to offer. And brethren, that choice the speaker and the listener has to make every day of our life. There's no such thing. I was saying to my children, you cannot gather up enough sleep today and do without for the next 2 nights. I took the train from Edmonton, rode down in a bus from Dawson to Edmonton and got 11:30 train coming to here. I never slept a wink all night. I turned, I'm too long for those benches and those things. You know, it's not the trouble with the bench, it's me, no doubt. I'm too long for this. I tried all sorts of formations, but nothing seemed to work. And I wished for the day, just like the apostles on the boat. I wished for the day, and the day came. But they saw me go to bed, Robert and his wife, Helen. I was gone quite early because I couldn't save up enough sleep
for the night I wasn't going to sleep.
You cannot eat enough, brother, to not eat for a couple of days. Another 4 or 5 hours, that body's going to demand something. And so, when it comes to the things of God, it's a day-by-day experience. Daniel, it says, he purposed in his heart, to have brethren and sisters and younger ones have a real purpose in the heart to cleave unto the Lord and the word of his grace. Then you'll have, like Daniel here, he reigned as prime minister under 4 different kings, and everyone loved Daniel. Go on. Because an excellent spirit was in him. Verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God, unless we can find something in his Christian life. That's the only place. Brethren, I read, brethren, very clear in the Bible what an elder must be. He must be blameless. And he must be blameless. Because how can he go into the homes of the people of God if they can point a finger on any... It doesn't mean perfection now. It means blameless. Something he's done that hasn't been up to par. Hasn't been in the lines of testimony. But listen, brethren. What must be for an elder should be for every one of us. But an elder must. If he's going to move amongst the Lord's people and be a help, the most important thing is his testimony. What must be for an elder should be for every one of us. And so they're going to find something against his God, his devotion to his God. Okay, we'll go on then. So what they do without going into it, they got the king with his signet ring to sign a decree that nobody was to bow but before the king himself. Now that exalted the king. He felt very much propped up at that time. But he didn't know the wiles of the devil through these men. Verse 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing that these wicked men had now got together and the decree. Now when Daniel knew, isn't it lovely? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he didn't shut those windows so nobody could see. He left them open. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, notice, as he did aforetime. Daniel's not bothered about what the enemy's doing. He's not, I don't know how you would have done. I know how I have done. I would have, first of all, shut the shutters. And secondly, I would increase my prayers from 3 to 7 or 10 times a day because I'm in difficulty. But not Daniel. What? Daniel's got a hold upon God. And it's not because of circumstances. Whether in adversity or prosperity, Daniel's always the same because his heart's right with God. I wasn't saved at this time, but being very Calvinistically brought up, devoted in what we thought was right, went into the logging camps of the Queen Charlotte. I suppose I'm 19 years of age. I got saved when I was 23, but I thought I was a Christian. So when I got into that camp, I was into an area like this basement here with about 15 other loggers. And I'll tell you, they're tough fellas. And I'm just a meek 19-year-old, long, lean, and so forth. My worry was now when I go to bed. Because I was taught to get on my knees and say my prayers and read my Bible. And a Calvinist is not going to give that up, but he's going to maybe do it a little differently. So my mind was working all day. How am I going to get to bed tonight with reading and praying with all these 15 loggers? Well, I had it all worked out. I got my little testimony. I was even a little smaller than this. And so, well, I says to myself, what's the difference whether you kneel down or say your prayers in under the covers? So under the covers I went. And pulled the covers right over top of me, and my conscience was eased greatly. Now I'm still reading, I'm still praying. So I read my portion, and I started to pray. But now quietly, because I couldn't let them hear it. But the Lord had it that way.
And with my flashlight, as I was reading, a ray of the light went underneath the covers on the floor, and there was a logger here about 55 years of age. He thought I was smoking underneath the covers, and he came over quickly, and he just pulled them all back. And there I am. I felt I was so high. He says, young man. He says, do you do this at home? I says, no. I says, I kneel and rest. He says, get out of bed and kneel and pray. Read your Bible. And he says, and if any one of these other 14 make a snicker, he says, and he just rolled up that fist. And that arm just went like a bulge. He says, I'll take it for you. I'm not Daniel, say. And even if I was saved, brethren, I may have had a hard time. Let's not profess to be very easy when we're in a secluded, excluded company as we are today, brethren. Now listen, when you go to your work world tomorrow, teacher at school and you're in your room there, on the workforce, or wherever it might be, you must have purpose of heart or we go the lines of least resistance. Daniel, a wonderful character. And so what does he do? He gave thanks before his God, as he did before. And these men assembled. Now the time is going to go quick, brethren. These men assembled and they found out what he was doing. And verse 14, for the sake of time. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased. They came in and they said, you remember you signed a decree and you sealed it with your signet ring? He says, Daniel's doing that. And that's what that was their objective. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart, Daniel purposed in his heart. Listen, that's even affecting the unconverted world. The boy or girl, the man or woman that has purpose of heart unknown to you, you're affecting even the unconverted world. Look at what it says here. Was sore displeased with himself and set his heart. He was purposing in his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun. Others are laboring to put him in the den of lions. Listen, brethren. Den of lions or lion's den? A lot of difference. You could be put in a lion's den, come out alive. But you couldn't go into a den of lions and come out of alive. And that's where they're putting him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto him, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute, which the king establisheth, may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now notice. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God. It wasn't his God. Is thy God. Again, Daniel's got a testimony in the palace of the king. Thy God, and this is really what I'm after, brethren, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. We read on, the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his Lord, that the purpose might not be changed. Concerning Daniel, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, the beloved, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the den of lions? That's a moving scene, brother, isn't it? King can't sleep. He's done what many believers don't do. He's even fasted. Sleep, appetite, everything is taken from him because of a testimony. God working through a young man. Listen. I know Daniel's older at this particular point of time. But when Daniel was taken into captivity with his three Hebrew friends, he was a very young man. I don't think he was 17, but let's say he is 17. Removed from your father and mother.
removed from the influences of Judaism, Israel's ways, means, fellowship, companionship, taken by the enemy and put into a concentration camp, you might say, secluded. Listen, an excellent spirit was in Daniel. He's like the maid of Naaman, she could have said. Well, I'm very glad he's got leprosy. I hope he dies of it. That's not the way to win people. But the way she worked, God won the day. And so with Daniel and his three friends, he influences his three friends as well. Although young, he says, I'm going to be no different in captivity or when I'm in liberty amongst my own people. Whether at home with my father and mother or whether I'm away, I'm going to be the very same way. He purposed in his heart. Now these are the effects, brethren. This is the testimony that is being manifested. This is what the world is looking for today. They're not interested in our preaching. They're not interested in our telling what we think is the gospel. They're interested in how do we live day by day? How do we react to the circumstances of life? Thy God, whom thou servest continually. You'll lead up to something. I wonder, does that characterize the speaker today and all that are listening? Are we serving him continually? Are you an elder? Are you giving up on the job? Are you a deacon? Are you a father and mother? I had a talk with our brother Robert. He says, you know, Andrew, he said, I think it was this morning. He says, I begin to see that the responsibility of teaching does not lie with the brethren in the assembly to teach my boy or your children. Every emphasis in the Bible is that the father is the priest in the home, and he should be teaching. He should be sure that my children, which are my responsibility, are being taught so that when they come to the assembly, and we're all doing that, we hear congregationally ministry that just backs up what you're trying to do in the home. And I agree with our brother. The Bible says about Abraham, I know Abraham. He will command his children after me. It never was said of Lot. Lot lost it all. Abram retained it. So there is a responsibility that comes there. Are you giving up the God whom thou servest continually? Oh, to continue, brethren, is very important. Let's turn now to the New Testament, please. In Luke chapter 24. That idea of serving continually is followed up by this here, which we could read about. The last chapter of Luke. Last chapter of Luke, verse 50. And the Lord Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, notice, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I know that is still before the time of the church, but the principle is there. That it says they were continually in the temple. That was a place up until it is set to one side. I know that. But brethren and sisters, there must be a continuing, not only in our service outward to those round about us, but there should be that inward praise that welds up to the God of eternity. Worshippers! That's what God is seeking. The Father seeks such. When it comes to Luke 19 and verse 10, we read that Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ came to deal with the sinner, seek sinners. John chapter 4, the Father seeketh worshippers to worship him and in spirit and truth. Brethren, all service is qualified by worship. We don't set the morning meeting above all other meetings. They all have a distinctive place. But in the morning meeting, when we gather to worship, brethren, you've heard it before, we come not to get, but to give. And if you want to know what worship is, just think of the first two times worship is mentioned. First in the Old Testament and then in the New. When was the worship mentioned the first time in the Old Testament? Where would you go to find worship in the Old Testament? Is it not Genesis 22? What is the emphasis there? Abraham and his son Isaac. A picture of the father and the son going to the cross. When he gets to the point there, the two lads that went with him, that were helping bring in all that was necessary, he says, "You remain here with the donkeys." He says, "And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." Abraham believed in resurrection. You couldn't have worship without resurrection. That's why there's worship mentioned here. Did you not read it with me? And it says, "And they worshiped him." That's on the grounds of resurrection. The Lord's about to ascend into heaven. "I and the lad will go yonder and we will come again." So when I see worship there, I see sacrifice. Now Isaac, in one sense, is a type of the Lord Jesus in that chapter. In another sense, he's not. He's a type of the Lord Jesus in that he willingly goes with the Father. He's not resisting. But when he's on the altar, and Abraham's about to do his work, to put the dagger into him, instead of that, he unbinds him. "Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm." And he finds a ram caught by the horns in the thicket. Now, Isaac becomes a type of the sinner that finds in the ram a sacrifice, a substitute, and it's placed in the place of Isaac. So there you have Isaac as a type of the sinner. But the thing there in worship is sacrifice. So you couldn't have worship without sacrifice. When you come to the New Testament, the first time that worship is mentioned is in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men coming from the east, and they came, and they worshipped him, and they presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There it's now the person. So just because there were three gifts, that doesn't narrow it down just to three wise men. It says, wise men from the east. And they came, and they offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What is worship? Gold speaks of his worth. He's worth his weight in gold. Frankincense speaks of his walk. Everything they did was fragrant in the nostrils of the Father. I always do those things that please the Father. And then the myrrh speaks about his work. So you have his worth, his walk, and his work upon the cross. Brother, and that's what worship is. Occupied with a lovely person and the work of the Lord Jesus. If anything will create worship in the hearts of his people, it's going to be that. And that's just what they're doing. We're to continue in this, brother. Because this is what the Father delights in. But remember, you need to have it with you. When the wise men came to where the Lord Jesus was, they didn't quickly go to the Zeller's store and buy the gold and whatever frankincense they need and myrrh. They had it all with them. They're just waiting to be able to get to the person in order to offer it. Hebrews chapter 7, please. There it was, they continually were in the temple worshiping. So we need to continue in service. We need to continue in worship. Chapter 7. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem," or king of peace, "priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, and to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all," notice, first, "being by interpretation king of righteousness." Not king of Salem, king of righteousness. Then it says, "and after that, king of Salem." See, brethren, to become the king of peace, he had to righteously pave the way to make peace. And he made peace by the blood of his cross. So it's the righteous movements of the Lord Jesus from infancy right to the place called Calvary lays the basis that he becomes king of Salem. That's why, very serious thing, when the Apostle Peter took out his sword and would have defended the Lord Jesus from going to the cross, he didn't realize that in order to have that peace and a kingdom of peaceful people, he must go by the way of the cross. So he's first of all king of righteousness. before he's king of Salem, king of peace, which is the king of peace. Then it says without father and without mother. We know he had a natural father and natural mother, but because it has to do with his priesthood, and because the priesthood is eternal, therefore that's very beside the point who the father and mother are. He only comes, Melchizedek, on the page of history to fulfill a type. Therefore, as to his priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, he had no ancestry. He didn't come from a priestly family. He's brought on the scene like the Lord Jesus. As to his priesthood as well, he had no ancestry. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but being like unto the Son of God, abideth no a priest continually. Here's something else that's got to continue. And this is God's side. And he'll never fail. He's the only priest that will never fail throughout eternity. That's why we are where we are today, and that's why we're preserved. Because of the priestly work of the Lord Jesus. As mediator, he made the link. As advocate, he mends the link. As priest, he maintains the link. And so we have him as a mediator. He made peace by the blood of his cross. As advocate, if we sin, 1 John 2, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Therefore, any difficulties is mended through the advocacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here, it's his priestly interceding for us. He maintains, and because he lives, brethren, we shall live also. So don't get down in the dumps, boys. Everything to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's my Savior. He always will be forever. Now, all that we have said is coming down to one thing, Acts chapter 2. We have said all this with this in view. Robert, I got a couple of minutes yet, haven't I? All right, brethren. How about it now? Let's put ourselves to the test. Not Daniel, not the disciples, not this high priest. Acts 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, I believe that's when they were converted. James says, receiving the engrafted word which is able to save their soul. And they that gladly received his word were, that's born again, you're now in the body, in the church, which is his body, were baptized, another personal thing, and the same day there were added unto them that 120 in the upper room, now you have a local church. Stones out of the universal church are placed into the local. About 3,000, so you have an assembly now of 3,120. Then, and they continued. And they continued steadfastly. Now we come in, brethren. The God whom thou servest continually, said the king of Daniel. They worship continually in the temple. Priests continually offers. What about me? What about you? What characterized the early believers is, and they continued steadfastly. In the apostles' doctrine, that is the teachings in the gospel, they had no more. It was only oral teaching, brethren. But they continued. And in fellowship, that is the fellowship, it's a special fellowship. Fellowship of those of one mind, caring and sharing with one another. And in the breaking of bread, in contrast to what you read in verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread. That was just having meals. That was a common thing, to have common meals one with another. But it's the breaking of bread and in the prayers. Therefore, if it's the apostles' doctrine, then you've got to include the apostle Paul too. So it's all the teachings, beginning with the foundational teaching in the gospels, but it goes right through. Now I understand it came up in Dawson Creek. Why did they vote and have Matthias take the place of Judas Iscariot? Well, it says, first of all, to fulfill a prophecy, a promise, that the bishopric, the eldership of Judas that would be set to one side, had to be taken by another. So it fulfills the scriptures. But why Matthias? Because Acts 1 says, one that had to move amongst the Lord Jesus in his 3 years of public ministry. and had to see him in resurrection. Now I can understand why this Matthias had to have heard the same things the other 11 had heard, because it's the apostles' doctrine. And so he was in familiarity and in the fellowship close enough to the Lord Jesus to take in these truths. And I can see why Paul later on, who was also an apostle, was apostle to the Gentiles, spent 2 whole weeks with Peter to catch up on the apostles' doctrine. Oh, the Bible, such a wonderful book. And he had to catch up on the teachings. Because in the Gospels, there's teaching for the multitude, but there are times when he took them aside as disciples and taught them to teach others. The Beatitudes, for example. The upper room discourse. The multitudes never heard that. They did the disciples. Now we carry on today. Paul says, to pass on this divine deposit, this body of divine secret truth, to men who are faithful, who in turn can teach others. Brethren, that's where we are today. We need to have teachers. And we have need times when we're taught the apostles' doctrine and continue on these things like Daniel did and the rest. Shall we pray?